So Hannah is with us today, and she's going to be sharing a lot about what she's doing during the service. I was just reflecting, actually, the last time that you and I were stood at the frontier saying something together, I was giving you away, and you were saying, I do. There it is. There you go. So Hannah is married to Nick. It's good to welcome Nick along as well. And Nick, as some of you will know, is a West Brom supporter. Hannah, of course, is a Southampton supporter. So how's it going this morning, Hannah?
It's going really great, actually.
It's good. Yeah. The Saints beat the Baggies 2-1 yesterday, so all things are good. So really, just tell us a little bit about what you've been doing and where you've been since you were last here.
So since I was last here, I have moved up to Yorkshire, to West Yorkshire. So we're living in Haworth, which is Bronte country, if any of you know the Brontes, of the Brontes. so we're living up there, and I'm working for a charity called TLG, which stands for Transforming Lives for Good. So their headquarters is based up in Bradford, where I work, but they kind of work nationally with children and young people and their families, and they kind of seek to equip local churches around the UK to reach out to struggling children and their families. So that's where I'm at.
Good. So what in particular do they do to reach out in that? What sort of activities do they have?
So we've got kind of four main programmes that we run at the moment. So we've got our education centres, and there's one over actually the other side of Chelmsford. There are 13 around the UK, and there's one that is linked to Life Church, and it's run in partnership with Life Church. So that kind of works with children who have been excluded from school, who kind of aren't within that education system of school anymore. We also run an early intervention programme, which equips local volunteers from the church to give 1 hour a week to one child for 1 year, and offers them that kind of one-to-one support with children. We've just launched this year something called Make Lunch, which again works in partnership with a local church to target holiday hunger. So a lot of children are on free school meals, and actually in the holiday, where do they get their sort of regular meals from? Often their regular meals stop, or their parents go hungry in order to feed their children. So that's a new scheme that we have actually launched. In fact, I think technically we're launching it at the beginning of March, so it's not actually really properly started. We kind of did a bit during February, half term just gone. Again, that's using the local church to reach out to children and families who are in need of that. And we also run a programme called School Kit, which is a 3-week programme for local parents to come in and kind of use it as a forum to discuss all the things that you go through as a parent, or you watch your child go through as a parent at school, the things that can be really kind of difficult, the questions you ask, the targets or the spellings or the homework or whatever sort of thing. It's a forum to just kind of facilitate that conversation to kind of navigate through those years. So, yeah.
Yes. And what's your role in the organisation? What do you get up to?
So my role is I'm part of the national development team. So TLG's been going for 20 years, but this year they've kind of plugged in extra resource to develop TLG because the need is massive, and so our aim is to grow so that we can reach more children and more families and equip more churches. So I'm part of that team, and within that team I'm events coordinator. So I organise things like fundraising and awards dinners. We've got one coming up in Essex in a few weeks' time, I do other things like arrange kind of logistics around conferences and go along to exhibitions at sort of things like New Wine and Big Church Day Out and those sort of things where there are exhibitions that kind of demonstrate and seek to kind of get others on board with TLG. That's my role.
Great.
And Hannah is now going to come and share with us further on the work of TLG and other things too.
Great, thank you so much for having me this morning. It's really lovely to be in the south again. I've not seen sunshine like I've seen for the last 3 days in quite a few months, so I'm very appreciative of being down here. I'm aware that this isn't necessarily going to be a classic sermon as such, where I kind of unpack one particular passage in depth. Instead, I want to reflect on a few passages and use them to demonstrate our calling at TLG and really the heart that we feel Jesus demonstrates throughout the gospel for social justice and for children's part in that mission. So to reiterate the vision of everyone at TLG, all of us are committed to bringing hope and a future to children and young people who are struggling. And our aim is to equip local church in order to be able to do this. So let's just give this time to God in prayer. Yeah, Father, thank you for the heart that you demonstrate time and time again in your word. And Father, I pray over this morning, Lord, that you would be speaking through this time, Lord, that people would be reflecting on what you have to bring to us this morning. Amen. So as I'm not really someone who likes to jump around the Bible so much to kind of demonstrate a point, but I really feel that this morning that's kind of what is needed to kind of demonstrate what TLG is about, as I say. So I'm going to bring to you three passages this morning. So firstly, we've got the little children and Jesus. Then people brought the little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went from there. And the next one is the parable of the lost sheep. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99. And finally, Jesus eats with sinners. Later, Jesus and his disciples were at home having supper with a collection of disreputable guests. Unlikely as it seems, more than a few of them had become followers. The religious scholars and Pharisees saw him keeping this kind of company and said to his disciples, "What kind of example is this, acting cozy with the riffraff?" Jesus, overhearing, shot back, "Who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting the sin sick, not the spiritually fit." So Jesus said, "Bring the little children to me and do not hinder them." I wonder whether you have ever sat and thought about what these hindrances could be, what those hindrances might look like. I want us to take a couple of minutes to just turn to the person next to you and have a think about what kind of circumstances might be preventing a child's kind of hope of a future. So one example for us could be bereavement. So it could affect the way a child acts, the way a child responds, and ultimately affect their future. Have a couple of minutes. Turn to the person next to you. What kind of circumstances could our children be facing today? Right. So let's bring those discussions to a close. I expect you've had quite a few things that have come up between you. A few things that we see quite a lot at TLG, and I'm sure you've identified yourselves, are things such as if a child's being bullied, if they have additional needs, perhaps there's a lot of peer pressure that they're facing, perhaps they're suffering with anxiety, and perhaps they've been experiencing a family breakdown. There are loads of them, and I'm sure that you came up with many more. I know we've got quite a few people that work with children in the room, so I'm sure you've seen many yourselves. Our children and young people are facing so much, and this is really making them struggle. When we recognise the context that you've all just been discussing, it's then that we understand, I think, that these children aren't just the naughty ones. The children that are acting out in school aren't just the naughty ones that society perhaps labels them to be, but actually they're victims of the world around them. They're victims of their circumstances. And the problem of the excluded and the marginalised was just as relevant in biblical times. And I want to have a look at how Jesus responded to this. When Jesus eats with the riffraff of the day, that was a message version, the riffraff of the day, the religious leaders just can't cope with it. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He stated clearly that it's the ones that are sick, the ones who have gone astray, who need saving more than the ones who are healthy in him. Jesus knew the struggling, he knew the marginalised, and he knew the excluded. And he made a point of showing everyone around him how special they were to him. We see it again in the story of Zacchaeus in Luke, where Jesus publicly includes and welcomes Zacchaeus, the one who everyone else can't stand. As a tax collector, we can probably assume that Zacchaeus would have been pretty well disliked by those around him and excluded by many. But Jesus was drawn to Zacchaeus. Again, the crowd can't believe it. Why would Jesus eat with this riffraff in the Message translation? Doesn't he know the associations surrounding tax collectors? And surely he wouldn't waste his time with him. Jesus simply responds with, "Today is salvation day in Zacchaeus' home. Here is Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." For the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. What a simple yet amazing insight into Jesus' mission. And this statement applies to the lives of lost and struggling children as well. So to give you all a bit of a history lesson, this guy up here is George Muller, and he lived in Bristol in the early 1800s with his family. There were laws in this country at that time that prevented aid being given to able working people and children who had been orphaned. This was the era of the workhouse, and across Britain, the problem of what to do with orphaned and struggling children was rife. Orphaned children were without exception seen as riffraff, and were excluded from society in almost every possible way. Sympathy from the British public for orphans just didn't exist, and entire generations were brought up thinking that orphan children were a pest and that they were somebody else's problem to deal with. It was actually this that kind of inspired Charles Dickens to write the novel Oliver Twist, which was designed to raise the difficulties and the plight of orphans and ultimately challenge the laws of the time. But George Muller was led by God to do something about solving this problem. He set about housing these children, providing them with food and shelter and an education. He was committed to including them in his family and providing for them practically, as well as tutoring them in the ways of God and the love that God had for them. And there are genuinely generations of people living in our world today as a result of George Muller's prayerful determination to give these children hope and a future and bring them back from the brink of exclusion. I think the statistic is that during his life he helped over 10,000 children. He got alongside over 10,000 children, striving to make them included and let them know that they are loved. You might think that because we've moved away from workhouses now and we've got systems in place to look after children who are orphaned, that there's no such thing as an excluded child or young person in our country today. We might think our children are fine. They're fortunate to live in a country that cares for them. They're on the whole provided for, and they're given really great opportunities of a hope and a future. But as you all chatted about earlier on, actually, so many of our children in our country today are facing struggles, and actually, this really isn't their truth. Those hindrances we identified: bereavement, family breakdown, anger, anxiety, or additional needs, they're causing our children to struggle. And sadly, when our children struggle, the result is often exclusion in many forms. The problem of what to do with struggling children was just the same in George Muller's time as it is now. It's just got a very different outworking. So what are we going to do about those children and young people that are struggling? What about the children that have gone astray? I want to take a look at some of the recent statistics around this problem in a moment. But before I do, I want to kind of enable you to connect in the best way possible with some of the stories of the children that we are working with. So if I could ask you to close your eyes just humour me here, and close your eyes and put yourselves in the shoes of these children. You're a six-year-old girl and your mum has just passed away. Unsurprisingly, you're struggling to cope. This has made you angry, frustrated and moody, and you hate being in school doing maths when all you want to do is be with your family. And you miss your mum. Your attitude changes and you become difficult to be around and to work with. You're losing friends, and you're always getting told off by the teachers. You are the sheep that is going astray. You're the child that is being excluded. You're a 14-year-old boy, and when you were growing up, you never really saw your real dad. But your mum had 5 different boyfriends at different times. Some of them treated you nicely, others not so much. Your identity was lost in the instability of your home life, and at school you were known as the bad one. You loved this attention. You did everything you could to make sure people noticed you. Your friends laughed at your bad behaviour, but inside you were desperate for someone to rescue you. You are the sheep that is going astray. You are the child that is being excluded. You're a parent, and your financial difficulties mean that you can't afford to feed your children properly during school holidays. This means you often miss meals yourself so that your children can eat. You see their puzzled expressions as they try to understand why they can't go to the cinema with their friends or join in with after-school activities. As months go by, isolation is increasingly the safest option to protect your family and the financial situation. You are the sheep that is going astray. You are the family that is being excluded. All right, you can open your eyes now. Has anyone fallen asleep? I can see them all. That's great. So let's have a look at some of the statistics so you can just see just how the stories I've just shared with you are stories that are happening everywhere in the UK today. So currently in our country there are 204,579 children who are excluded from school each year. And last year 35,900 primary aged children were excluded from school. Of those, nearly 7,000 exclusions were given to children who were 6 years and under. That's thousands of children in our country that, before having even properly begun their school career, have been removed. And they've been told they're not good enough to be in the school system. 89% of youth currently serving in young offenders institutes were excluded from school. And almost two-thirds of children say they worry all the time. The stories we experienced just then are the real stories of young people in TLG's services today. I work with a lady called Ray Morfin, and she's been doing a lot of work and sort of research into child trauma and the impact that can have. And she gives this great analogy, and she gets properly enthusiastic about it. And it's great, I think, because she gives the analogy of a pilot in a ship, in a plane. I don't know all the technical lingo. And there's a light, and it's flashing. And the pilot, does he look at the light and go, "Why are you flashing? Stop flashing! Stop flashing! Just stop! Just leave it! Just..." Does she do that? Does the pilot do that? Maybe. I hope my pilot doesn't. Or does the pilot go, "I can see you're flashing, and I'm going to ignore the fact that you're flashing, and it will go away if we just ignore it and if we just leave it." Does the pilot do that? No, because the pilot knows that if that is flashing, if something's flashing, then there's a problem. There's a problem deep somewhere else within the ship, within the plane, that needs solving. Something needs to be done in order to stop this flashing. Otherwise, it's just going to continue to flash and probably trigger other things to eventually flash. So, yeah, I think hopefully that gives you a bit of an idea of our attitude towards children who are struggling, children who are displaying difficult attitudes and reactions to things within school, and how important we feel it is to understand their context, how context is everything. And there will be a reason, there will be a core reason why children are acting out in this way. So, what can be done? At TLG, our aim is to, as I say, equip local church to help restore hope and future to struggling children and families. Our general director, who set up TLG as a result of what he saw in Bradford when he was working with a youth group there, he often refers to the cliff analogy, which is given by William Booth originally. I mentioned earlier on about our education centres. They're designed to put local church at the centre of the lives of teenagers who have been excluded from school and who the system doesn't really know what to do with anymore. They're at a crisis point. So in a way, these children are at the bottom of the cliff. They're the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, I think, as William Booth says. So TLG offer a small class with a small group of passionate teachers who will be patient with these children, who will persevere in teaching them, but ultimately who will love them throughout their time, however long or short that might be, that the teenager is with TLG. Jesus said, "Who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick?" As I mentioned earlier on, we've got 13 of these running around the country now, and we have one over in Chelmsford with a great team of teachers and volunteers who are helping offer that to those children. But God doesn't stop there, and after our education centres were built, there are children, we realise there are children who are much younger than these teenagers, who are already struggling and already being hindered, to hark back to the passage earlier on, from their hope and future. And because we feel this isn't okay, we created our early intervention programme. And our EI programme is about reaching out to the one when they're at the top of the cliff, so before they've fallen and before they've been excluded. So church volunteers are trained by TLG, and they go into schools and they spend 1 hour a week with a child who has been struggling, and they devote time and love to them, and they seek to understand why they might be presenting with certain behaviours or responses to things. Not only does this really help the local church to build relationships with the community families and the schools, the local schools, but it also means that for 1 hour a week, a child is receiving receiving the undivided attention and love and support and guidance from that local Christian volunteer. Jesus said, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." By getting alongside this child with a consistent commitment to both them and their family, the hope is that their attitudes and responses would be gradually shaped from being something destructive into something constructive. So ultimately, the exclusion is prevented, and all those statistics that you've just seen as we broke them down are reduced. So today we run 52, we've got 52 churches who are running our EI programmes around the UK. And I mentioned earlier on that the next thing that we're kind of focusing on is our Make Lunch initiative, again as a way of getting the local church to get alongside local families who are in need, offering them a service to them, getting alongside them. And providing a practical way to sort of engage them in local church and the love of Jesus, really. And all of these, like I say, are designed to support and help equip churches. So kind of TLG offer the training, they offer the support, they offer the resource for churches to be able to engage and get on board with this. So let me read to you the words of William Booth. "The church should be an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff caring for the injured, and it should be the fence at the top preventing more damage from being done." The vision to enable churches to be there for these children is really big for TLG, and it's getting bigger. We want to ensure that every child that needs help, that needs that support, receives it. And our local churches are beginning to experience these ripples of transformation. And we really want them to be experiencing that for generations to come. Our vision is big, but it's big purely because the need is really big. And the need is on our doorstep, really. Our goal for 2018 is to have another education centre set up. We want to open 43 more early intervention centres in partnership with local churches, and we want to add 30 more Make Lunch kitchens to those which have kind of been launched over the recent months. We would love to help 74 more churches reach in the region of about 750 children and their families who are finding times really tough. You'll find under your seats, on your seats, wherever you put them when you sat down, because it wouldn't have been very comfortable to sit on a pen, would it? An initial contact information form. I want to give you the opportunity now to reflect a bit on what I've been saying and to see how you might be wanting to get involved. Have a look. And if you want to be kept up to date with what God's doing through TLG, then I'd really encourage you to fill out the contact information there. That will allow us to keep you informed about some of the transformation stories of transformation. It will also mean that you will receive this, which is our quarterly magazine, which actually, these are hot off the press. These came into our office this week, and I've got a box downstairs. So if anyone wants to hear some of the stories, they're really great. Please do run downstairs and pick one up from me after the service. Also, if you fill out your details today, I have got this book, which is called Out of the Ordinary, and it basically goes into more detail about how and why TLG exists and where it all started. It's written by our general director, Tim Morfin, who started up TLG, and it's a great read. If you fill out your details today, I'd love to give you one of these copies to take away with you and read it at your leisure. There might be also some of you here this morning that have been so touched by the need, and and that you know how much of a difference Jesus can make to the lives of these struggling children through the local church, that you feel prompted to give financially to TLG. The reality is for us that in order to provide more help to these children, it does depend inevitably on the generous gifts of many other people getting on board with the vision. We're currently in a phase of being really overwhelmed, actually, by how many people are getting on board, and we're so excited by what God's got in store for TLG, and we're excited for what he's got in store for local church working with TLG. And this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to consider becoming a hope giver. Our hope givers are our regular givers, and they are really important in helping us to maintain and grow the work of TLG, as they allow us to see forecast costs and income over the coming months, because, yeah, we can just know that we're going to have that regular amount. To give you a bit of context to the money, £15 is the cost to TLG for that weekly early intervention support. If you feel urged to give more than that, wonderful. If you want to commit to give a smaller amount regularly, then genuinely every single pound really counts, and we're so grateful, whether it's £2 or £200. So, yeah, just have a think if you feel that's something that you would feel prompted to support financially. And there may well, of course, be people sat in this room who are eager to get involved as a church or as a volunteer in one of the programmes. And I'd really love to speak to you about this, if this is you, if you could sort of see yourself fitting into one of the programmes or starting something up here at CBC that works with TLG and the local schools and the local community. And I'll be around after the service, so do come and chat to me. I'd really love to chat more with you about kind of where your heart's at, where your passion is, what perhaps you could see yourself doing within the vision. So yeah, do come and speak to me. It's been so great to be able to come and share with you, and just on behalf of TLG as well, just thank you so much for having me and for allowing me to just to share what we feel our heart is, what we're feeling called to do, and I feel like it's apt now for me to stop talking and to allow the kids to do that, have the last word.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of challenge in the last few moments as we've been having a window on the work of TLG, for the passion that they have for children and families in the UK. Father, may we take that challenge on board for ourselves in the situations that we find ourselves, whether that's with our own families, whether it's families that we have connection with, whether it's children and families that we know that come through the doors here at CBC. Father, whether it's in our own workplaces, in our own situations, at work, at school, at home, with other friends, with neighbours, Father, would you help us to reflect on what we've heard this morning and challenge us as Christians in what you would have us do in the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves with children and young families. Father, show us what to do, whether that's a personal response or a collective response, so that, Lord, children may not be excluded, families may not be excluded, they may not be left out of your will and your purposes. Help us, Father, to display the love of Jesus to all those who feel excluded, and show us our part in that. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.